I don't know whether it's working or not. Well, I think it's working, but it's supposed to be a very sensitive machine. And there's no dial of any kind to tell how loudly I'm speaking or how loudly it's coming over on the tape. So I guess before I go any farther, I'd better turn it off and rewind it and see if I'm talking too loud or too soft. Just a second and we'll see. Well, as far as I can tell, it seems to be working just about right. So then, Merry Christmas to you all. Happy New Year and ad infinitum. I say you all, or everybody, because I haven't any idea who's there at home this Christmas. I'm sure that Father and Mother are there, and Quentin. Pete and... Are Pete and Eddie there, too? I think they are. I don't know whether Don or Joe are going up. I judge they are not, because I haven't heard anything in Joe's letters to indicate such. And I imagine that Jimmy and McKean, just settling down there in Delaware, are pretty busy with their Christmas plans. Incidentally, not knowing who was going to be home for Christmas, I bundled up my Christmas presents pretty much into one box. I sent Joe's and Don's down to North Carolina. I didn't have Jimmy's and McKean's address, so I included that in the shipment to storage. Accordingly, you'll probably have to ship it on to them, Mother, and it'll probably arrive late. I haven't done much for Christmas this year, as you will see, but I certainly wish you all a very Merry Christmas, in spite of the smallness of the gift. Well, I'll try and give you a little bit of a rundown as to what's been happening around here. Of course, up here, the first thing on our mind always is the weather. And boy, have we ever had weather in the last few weeks. It's just gone from lots of weather to little weather and right back again. You know, one of the things they say here about the interior, it's such a wonderful place to live because even if it gets very cold, there's no wind at all. Well, that's a big laugh. Last week, we had almost 5 days, or I guess at least 5 days, of wind. The wind blew 20 to 30 miles an hour almost all the time. I really got so that I sort of disliked it. I've become so used to no wind at all that this wind sort of gave me an uneasy feeling. Of course, when the wind is blowing, you don't expect the temperatures to drop particularly low. But they did, and we were getting winds of 10 to 30 miles an hour with the temperatures down to minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit. And boy, that is cold. My house stood the wind very well, though, although I found that it was an excellent time to sneak around and put my hands up to the logs and find out where the chinking was not quite tight enough. I am sure that I tightened up the holes in my house a good deal during those windy days. Well, that was last week. Then, about the weekend, the wind stopped. Things were much more comfortable, but then the temperature began to drop very quickly. No, it's not particularly cold at 20 degrees Fahrenheit, except when the wind's blowing. And so on the weekend, it decided to show us that it could lower, and it dropped almost overnight down to 48 degrees Fahrenheit. And we were having daily highs of 30 to 35 degrees below zero, and at night it would, well, at least one night it got down to 48 degrees below zero. Well, this didn't last very long either. Let's see, I think Monday night that it warmed up again and began to snow. And Tuesday morning when I woke up, there was 6¾ inches of fresh snow on the ground. Well, the first thing that I think of course, is road trouble when we get that much snow. And it snowed, and it snowed, and it snowed, and it continued to snow. Finally, it's still snowing off and on even now, but we've had a total of about 8 inches of snow, and the temperature, of all things, has warmed up to about 30 degrees Fahrenheit, above zero, that is. We certainly go the extremes here. Now, in less than a week, we have had temperature variation of almost 80 degrees Fahrenheit. We like the warm weather, all right. However, I'm a little bit worried about my caribou meat. I have all my roast sitting out on top of my oil tank beside the house where it was supposed to remain perfectly well frozen. And here it is, 30 degrees Fahrenheit. And I'm hoping that it'll get a little colder so that my meat will not spoil. Well, I spoke of the snow causing road trouble. Oh me, oh me, oh my, it sure has. Tuesday morning I got up and I put my oak log on the back of the car and dragged the road as I left for school in the morning. It looked like I'd done a rather successful job, and so I was pretty happy about it. And that night I went home at about 5 o'clock and stopped on the hill, picked up my drag, got back in the car. Too slippery, I couldn't start the car with the drag on behind. So I picked up the drag, put it in my trunk, backed way down to the bottom of the hill, made a run for it, and got to the top of the hill near Morton Woods' place. Then I stopped and put the drag on and dragged our little road past Woody's, past the Tikas and Celia's, and on into my place. However, about 100 feet before I get up to my house, there's quite a little grade, and my car wouldn't pull the grade in that soft, wouldn't pull the drag in that soft snow up to the house. So I took off the drag, dumped it on over the side of the road, and decided I'd take the car up without the drag on it. But it wouldn't go. So I had to back down that grade in order to get another run for that part of the hill, although the snow in my own driveway was pretty deep. As luck would have it, the road is so narrow also, with little ridges which were of packed snow that I'd been running, and so I backed off my road. Well, it wasn't very deep, and the trees pretty much kept me propped back up on the road, and I got back on eventually and continued to back down. I backed too far, however, and backed off the road the second time, this time where there was a little bit of a ditch, and I got stuck, and I couldn't get going again. Well, after fooling around for some time, I went down and got Woody. He brought his Jeep out, and a friend that was there for supper, and he pulled me out of the ditch all right, and even then I couldn't get my car up to the house. And I churned and churned and churned, and finally, with all their backs and things pushing, I finally got up into my garage. I haven't taken the car out since. It's been snowing, and the road's been in bad shape, and Woody's been dragging it, but it is certainly in bad shape, and I just am a little bit discouraged, actually. I don't know what to do about the road. I certainly, if I had the money right now, I'd buy a four-wheel drive Jeep, one of the six-cylinder varieties, because it certainly would be an answer to the problems out there, the snow in the winter and the mud in the spring. This week I've been riding in with Fred Dean. He lives right next door, and I refuse to face the problem of the road. I'll see what I can do this weekend. Woody, with his cat, was supposed to keep the road open for us this winter, but he and his wife left for California today, so the road problem has been left in our laps. I think we've come upon a fairly good solution, however. I have talked to the buildings and grounds people here, and I think we can make arrangements to use their big cat and blade, and if we can do that, things should be all right. They were going to come out this weekend for us, but I'll see if I can't handle the road this weekend. If it gets any worse, however, we'll have the university cat come out. You know, the university certainly has been awfully good. That is, some of the members of the university buildings and grounds staff, they really have been sweet. One of the men stopped me this morning, one of the men that drives the truck. He's been around here for quite a while. And he said to me, he says, how's that road these days? And I says, oh, just terrible. Well, he told me that the university trucks had just put on some of these suburbanite snow tires, and he just spent 15 minutes telling me how wonderful they were. Well, finally, when I could get a word in sideways, I told him, well, I'd ordered some suburbanite tires, the nylon type that he recommended, and that they were just arrived in the post office, and that I hadn't had them put on yet because they'd just gotten here. Well, he said that was just the thing. And then I asked him about the university cat, because I thought he might know something about it. Already I had the man from the head of the buildings and grounds had said probably it would be all right, so I just thought that I'd get another edge in with one of the men that was one of the top of the working personnel. So So I told him a little bit about that. And then today, this afternoon, I mean, not more than about 3 hours after I had spoken to him, I went back to the office, and here was a note from Jim Kennedy, the man I was talking to. And he wrote me a little note to the effect that he had spoken to the mechanic in the garage at the university here and apparently had made arrangements so that he would change my tires for me, put the Suburbanites on for a total of $3. It would cost $2.50 apiece down at the local garage. Also, he said, he had put in a plug quote on the cat, the use of the cat for me to the engineer, to the mechanic, and the mechanic could tell me about that. Then he apologized for butting in my business or something like that. Real sweet, huh? Of course, Heine has been awfully nice to me, too. He's the university plumber, and he was the one that did the plumbing out at the house for me. He did an awful lot of work out there, and there were times when I seemed like I couldn't get him to working the way I wanted to. However, he finally did finish the plumbing, and he did a lot of scrounging army surplus for materials and things. And you know, he did the plumbing, that is, he put in all the piping for the bathroom and the kitchen, provided all the sewer pipe and so on, including the pipe that goes out to the cesspool. And you know how much he charged me? You couldn't even beat this down in the States, I'm sure. For materials and labor, he charged me a grand sum in total of $125. You can't beat it. So I've got lots of friends, and I think betwixt Kennedy and Heine that things are going to be very livable out my way. Certainly they are wonderfully helpful people. Let's see, I guess I better get on with my list. I see my tape is rapidly spinning by. I have had a pretty busy time lately. As I wrote, we had an all-university open house. The department spent about a whole week rushing and rushing and rushing and getting ready to display our things, something like a farm and home week. Cornell made some special tape recordings for me of bird songs, and I played those. I think those were really the highlight of our program. It certainly was wonderful of Paul to make these recordings for us. And then this week we have the military branches course that we give every year, and that was a horrible thing. You know, I forgot completely about it. We had the open house Friday, and then I relaxed a little over the weekend, worked around the house, and I came in Monday morning in slacks, and I couldn't imagine why the president and Dean Hosley were down at the end of the hall. And then I saw all those blue coats, and I realized that this was the day. And so I thought, oh my goodness, I'd have to go home and change my clothes. Also, I had a lecture from 10 to 11 with my own class, and so I would have to hurry home very fast to get back in time for my lecture. And then somebody showed me the military branches program, and I realized that I had a lecture with them from 11 to 12 and another one from 1 to 2. Then I had a comparative anatomy lab from 2 to 5. Oh, what a hectic rush that was. I hadn't prepared the lecture. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And I had to go home and change my clothes, talk from 10 to 11, and then start with the military. I didn't think I'd make it, but I did, and I don't know how, but I did. And then that night, no, it was the next night that I got stuck, that's right. Dr. Gabrielson has been in town from Washington, D.C. He came up to talk to the Constitutional Convention on Conservation. And of course, you remember he is primarily an ornithologist, and he and Frederick Lincoln are writing The Birds of Alaska. So it was wonderful to have them around and talk with him, on the Birds of Alaska. Christmas cards, Christmas presents, keeping me busy? Oh no, never. Of course, I put it always off until the last minute. The only reason I feel that I can take a little time now to do this tape recording is because I feel so proud that I got all my presents mailed off today. I was going to work on cards this afternoon, but I didn't get around to them. I'll do them over the weekend, I guess, and see if I can't get them out. Also, I must get a Christmas tree this weekend. When I get my Christmas tree up, and maybe get my curtains up, I'm going to take some pictures around the house and send them home. I haven't done it yet because Mrs. McGee hasn't finished the curtains. She's working on them now, though. During Christmas vacation, I should be able to get the curtains up, and the house should be in fairly good condition, so I'll try and get some Kodachrome pictures taken and sent to you. Well, let's see. Oh, my article came out in the Condor. I got a copy of the magazine today, and finally that little note on waterfowl from Alaska has been published. Finally, I've got some interesting chances for the summer. It looks like Dr. Murie may be going up to the Brooks Range again this summer. If he does, I am going with him. It's not sure that he will, but if he does go, the university will pay my salary for at least 2 months to go up there into the range with him. Won't that be wonderful? I'd probably go up from about the middle of May to the 1st of July, or maybe even until the 1st of August. Then the first part of August, I'll go up to Selawik for banding ducks. That's just south of Kotzebue, southeast of Kotzebue, if you want to look on the map. After that, about the middle of August, I'd plan on hightailing at home, staying at home for a while, and then on my return trip, stopping out at Denver, Colorado, to attend the AOU meetings. Wouldn't that make a wonderful summer? I have no idea whether that will work out, mainly because I don't know whether Murie will be going to the Brooks Range. If we do not go to the Brooks Range, I'm going to see if I can't teach summer session this summer so as to pull in a few extra shekels to help me with my almost overburdening finances. Well, I haven't got an awful lot more time left on this tape. Believe it or not, I actually had some more notes here. I was going to tell you a little bit about the progress on the house. But the house is always progressing. I have a bathroom now with a toilet that flushes. However, I have to have the water hauled and dumped into a big 1,500-gallon tank in the basement. And that's something about these roads, too. That's one reason I have to keep the road open, so that I can get water in and, of course, oil. Whoops, my tape's almost gone, so I will wish you a merry, 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 merry Christmas and a happy new year and so on. And even though I don't write, I love you all very, very dearly, and I'll try and reform with the new year and start writing carbon letters again. Merry Christmas and...